One of the best gifts that we can give to somebody is to pray for him or her. While you are in an intimate time with God, you are bringing this person along with you into that prayer time. We are remembering her. We are thinking of her deepest needs and asking God to comfort that person, to bring healing into that person's life. It means a lot, therefore, when one of you or when anyone tells me that he or she is praying for me. I realize then I'm not alone with God in my struggles. There's another brother or sister who's also remembering me. I wonder how you feel about asking others to pray for you. And what kinds of concerns are you willing to share about yourself for the prayer? Are you comforted by the knowledge that others have you in their thoughts when they are sitting in conversation with God? In our gospel lesson from John, Jesus is about to finish his time with his disciples in the upper room. He's washed their feet. He's given them the sacrament that we know, or the experience that we now know as communion. He's praying for them as he prepares to leave them to die on the cross. Not only is he praying for them, though, but he is praying for those of us who will come to believe in him in the future. And that future has gone on for a long time since then. Jesus is praying for you and for me. You know, that's an amazing gift that Jesus gives to us. Jesus' prayer for us. In a sermon resource called Join Hands, I was reminded of a scene from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I don't know if any of you ever read Harry Potter. It's been a long time ago since he was out. All right, some of you. In this particular book, Harry stumbles on a mirror of, and I can never pronounce his name, Arizid. And when he looks into this mirror, he sees himself and his parents, who were actually killed when he was a baby. And the professor, the wise professor in the story, the Harry Potter stories, Professor Dumbledore explains to Harry that the mirror reveals whoever looks at it, their deepest and most desperate desire. Okay, I start thinking, well, I would like to see that I'm still healthy. I desire that Jean and my sons and their families are healthy and happy. I want Lakeview to be able to continue to serve in this community. And I even want to see my parents and grandparents again someday. But are these really my deepest desires? If you looked into the mirror of Arizid, what would you see? What is missing for you? Who are you missing in your life? Jean and I participated in a 9-month retreat daily life process based on Ignatian spirituality a few years ago. I don't know, some of you may know about Ignatius of Loyola. He's not a person we teach about a lot in the Presbyterian Church, but he was the founder of the Jesuit order back in the 1500s. His early spiritual journey became the basis of a particular approach to the Christian life that the Jesuits follow. His spiritual guidelines are available for lay folks to use in their devotional lives, especially in the format like that we were in. Ignatius' story is interesting. He was fighting as a soldier, and he got wounded. And during his time of convalescence, he did a lot of reading. He first started with romance novels, and he really enjoyed those. There may be some of you that enjoy romance novels. You don't have to raise your hands, but you could if you want to. All right, I see one brave soul. And if Jean were here, her hand would be waving around too, I know. But he discovered when he finished reading that the romance novels hadn't done anything for him. He still felt empty. So he turned to reading romance novels, Bible, quite a shift. As he finished reading the Bible, he found that he had a sense of wholeness. This experience actually converted him into being a passionate Christian. So the exercises, his exercises, offer a variety of prayer experiences that helped me focus on the desires that I have for God's gifts. And through those 9 months of the retreat, I asked myself a new set of questions about what I desire. Which gifts do I desire that God gives? I've been praying for gifts like knowing what God's call is for my life in retirement, of courage, of faith to serve where God wants me to serve. I pray for joy no matter how uncertain things may get in life. I know that I'm called to desire God's gifts, especially in my deepest being. However, I wonder if I had that mirror that Harry Potter stumbled on, what I would see if I looked in there. Would I be falling short? What would I see? What would you see if you looked into that mysterious mirror in Harry Potter's world? And of course, you probably get my drift here. We need a different kind of mirror to see more than just our desires. We need a mirror that kind of reflects back to us truth and knowledge. And Ignatius and Presbyterians too find that the Bible does that for us. Jesus, throughout John's gospel, has been a mirror to us, as he is through all the gospels. He's reflecting God's love and truth back to us. In this prayer, he is asking, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they be in us. So somehow all of us, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, us, are all one. And that is Jesus' prayer. He has said that we know the Father because we know Jesus. And then he talks about their unity, God and Jesus. And now he prays again that we will be unified with him and therefore will be able to reflect to other people around us the love and glory that we have seen in Jesus. That's making us pretty powerful mirrors if others can see Jesus' love, God's love and glory as they look at us in the way we live our lives. Jesus is praying for our unity, our love for each other, our willingness to help others to see and believe in him as well. He's taught us about God's love through his ministry and teaching, and now he's about to demonstrate his love for us as he dies on the cross. Jesus says at this time, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Paul and Silas reflect the risen Christ story in the story in Acts. It's a long, complex story that you just read over there, men, about Paul and Silas. Paul heals a slave girl from her spirit, and she's been a money raiser for her owners because she can tell other people's futures. And now that the spirit is gone, she's worthless to the owners. And so they're mad at Paul and Silas, and they bring charges against, trumped up charges against them. And the authorities have them beaten and stripped and put in jail with their feet put in stocks. These guys are pretty filled with the Spirit because at midnight, suffering and a lot of pain, they're praying and singing praise to God. The prisoners are beginning to listen to them and like, whoa, what's going on with these people? Silas and Paul are witnessing to that love that they know in Jesus. And their pain is not overwhelmed by the love they're experiencing. And then this powerful earthquake shakes the prison and all the doors are sprung open. The chains are unfastened. They're all set free. The jailer wakes up and he knows that these people would have escaped. And that means that he's going to be at risk with his supervisor. So he's ready to kill himself with a sword. But Paul says, wait, nobody's missing. We're all here. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were the jailer? He's overwhelmed by what he has seen and what has been done for him. And so he says to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved, to know this Jesus that you're talking about? So he brings them into his house and he cleans their wounds and feeds them and preaches. And then Paul preaches the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The jailer and the whole household are baptized. God has mirrored his love to Paul and Silas, opens the prison doors so they can witness to the jailer and his family. And the jailer and his family experience God's love and are ready to spread that good news further. Paul and Silas continue to reflect Jesus' love, even when they're in pain. You know, I'm moved by the reflection I see of Jesus' love in the relationships among you as I look out today. Several of you dedicate hours to Operation Attack, helping organize food and clothes. You've told me that you meet with clients who come for help, and some have been served over and over the years. And they've begun to see you as family, sharing with you what's happening in their lives. And I look out here and you care for each other. You offer rides to people who need rides to come to church, and you visit and keep up with each other when you're sick or in crisis. And as leaders of the church, you serve this community and you serve Christ's church. You spend time working for justice. You serve as network members of FAST. You attended the Nehemiah action at Tropicana Field. You were speaking for youth, particularly black children, teens unfairly arrested and labeled for life, for the homeless, for children in failing schools asking for proven reading programs. And I haven't even mentioned yet how you witness Christ's love for all black people and white people worshiping and serving together. In the books that some of us have been reading in the class before worship, we're exploring an incredibly deep conversation, what each of you experience in your lives in this very racist country we still live in. And this country we are recognizing has been built on the backs of some of your ancestors. Your witness to Jesus Christ's all-encompassing love is a huge gift to St. Petersburg, Florida. Here in this community, with our families and friends, at work, we reflect Jesus' love through our honest, healthy relationships with each other, our acts of service for one another. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. Jesus' prayer suggests that Jesus mirrors God's love to us. When we look at Jesus, we see God. When others see us, Jesus prays that they will see him in us. Others see our love and are moved to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Isn't that the way people are drawn to Jesus, drawn to the church? Well, I want us to look again at Paul and Silas' experience with that jailer. The jailer saw Paul's faith in action first, and the jailer trusted Paul, because Paul stayed in prison when he could have slipped away. Paul had literally saved the jailer's life. And then, this is an important then, he heard Paul make the connection between his act of love for the jailer and the journey of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He told that story. After all of that had happened, the jailer believed and was baptized. You understand the love of Jesus for you here in this church, and you share his love through the way you live with each other. I would say your challenge here at Lakeview is to make the connection for those you serve with Jesus' story. Not only listen to other people's stories, but as you develop relationships with folks in need, share your story when the time is right. Let me ask you these questions. How have you experienced Jesus' loving presence as part of your story? How has Jesus been loving in your own life? What brought you to this church, to Lakeview? as you reflect on these questions, you're making, I'm hoping, connections between you, your life, and Jesus' love that is mirrored through you and to you through your experience in this community. And to folks who are not connected to another faith community, I would invite you to invite them to Lakeview. And let me say this very clearly, no pressure or threats about their future should be applied to these folks, if you know my meaning there. You're not trying to be a hard, blank question. I'm not going to say that in the sermon. Hard with these folks. All I'm inviting you to do is just say to people, hey, you're welcome here. This is a loving community, and I want you to know, we want you here. You're invited here. So, Jesus is praying for each one of you, for us as a community. Feel that love that he has for you that leads his prayer for your sake. And then turn your heart and your mind and your strength toward the pain of others around you. Be a mirror of Jesus' love to your spouse, to your family, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And love the strangers around you in this community who so badly need the love that we have received. Be willing to risk everything for them, including sharing the connection between your life, Lakeview Presbyterian Church, and Jesus' love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and perhaps are a little amazed that your Son prayed for us and still prays for us all these years later. We pray that we will continue to live out your love in this community and accept the challenge that you give us to invite others to join us at the appropriate time in the appropriate ways. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say, Amen.